Ultra Crepidarian by Bycroft. A hockey RPF story read by Mamoche Hestik. Reader's note: this story contains ableist language. Ultra Crepidarian: one who speaks or offers opinions on matters beyond their knowledge.
Sid and Gina are sitting kinda close, aren't they? Jake said, frowning. He whispered it like it was some kind of secret, and Flower rolled his eyes.
They're always like that, he said, patting Jake on the shoulder. It was something they inevitably always had to explain to the new guys, 9 times out of 10. They were expecting a hockey robot as a captain and an angry Russian bear as an alternate, secretly at each other's throats, so it was always a shock to see Sid and Gina practically in each other's laps, and grinning at each other instead.
They're just like super best friends, Ollie puts in helpfully, smiling. They always hang out.
And I think they started carpooling, Connor said, walking up to the group. I only see one of their cars in a parking lot when I come in now.
See, best friends, Flower said. They're pretty much in love, platonic soulmates.
Why do you all look like you're plotting something over there? Sid called from across the room, eyes narrowed. Flower flashed him his most innocent smile, which only made Sid frown more. Which was probably because he knew Flower, but that was an entirely different problem.
We're not, he said. We were just talking about you two being the best of pals, apparently.
Jealous? Gino chimed in, smirking a little. I'm best of best friend. You're lame now.
As if! Flower snorted, but he was still smiling. You're both just equally as lame as one another. That's why you get along.
You're lame, Sid shot back.
Gino cackled, and Flower faked a hurt look.
See, he say, have to be true, Gino says. You're lamest, Flower.
You're both equally terrible and deserve each other, Flower huffed, but Sid and Gino both just flipped him off and turned back to having their own conversations.
I still think they're sitting, like, really close to each other, Jake said, eyes narrowing. Flower huffed, but he actually looked and...
Well, Jake wasn't wrong. It wasn't like it wasn't still their norm, but he could see where someone who wasn't as versed with Sid and Gino's weird behaviors as he would think they were just something other than two close friends. There was barely any space between them. They were pressed side to side, thigh to thigh, and...
Flower squinted a little and tried not to let it show that he was freaking out when he noticed they were holding hands, mostly out of view of everyone else. Holy shit. Holy shit.
Nothing weird there, he said, mostly because he realized he was still surrounded by kids, and if Sid and Gino didn't want anyone noticing, he wasn't going to be the one that ratted them out.
Just Sid and Gino being Sid and Gino.
Connor and Ollie nodded, and after a moment or two more of staring, Jake just shrugged.
If you say so, he said, and went back to looking at something on his phone.
Once all the eyes were off of him, Flower slumped and tried to tame his inner panic into something more manageable. It wasn't like he'd never thought Sid and Gina would get to this point. The exact opposite. He'd known they would, ever since he first saw them hanging out. They had a kind of air about them that screamed, "Made for each other." But after a few futile attempts at trying to nudge them in the right direction, he'd given up and figured that they'd either work it out on their own or just be good friends forever. Because, really, they seemed pretty happy like that, too. Now, though, he wasn't sure if they'd actually taken the leap or if they were just being stupid about it and going to end up getting hurt in the process. God forbid it was the latter. A mopey Sid or a mopey Gino was never good for the team, and Flower hated to see his friends hurting. This was going to require some further research, Flower decided. He needed to call Tanger.
They were what?
Flower had to pull his cell phone away from his ear, lest Tanger blow his eardrums. He shushed him, even though he was pretty sure he was alone, and looked around furtively.
They were holding hands! I'm at least 90% sure, he said again.
It took them 10 years to finally bone,
Tenga said, almost cackling.
That's unbelievable.
I'm not even sure they boned, Flower lamented, a little bit because that was never something he thought he'd have to say in this particular context. They were just sitting really close, and I couldn't really see their hands, because they were sort of covering it, and they didn't say anything about it. Connor said they were carpooling together, though. That has to mean something, right?
It means they're boning,
Tenga insisted.
They're boning, and they just haven't told anyone yet because they didn't want to gross out the rookies.
You're grossing me out! Stop saying bone! Flower said, though he had to admit that Tenga probably had a point. It was the easiest explanation.
You should just ask them,
Tenga said.
Like, next time you see them doing it. You know, they're both shitty liars, so no matter what they say, you've got an answer.
Yeah, okay, Flower said, sighing a little. I'll ask.
Tell me what they say,
Tenga said, and after Flower promised he would, he hung up, leaving Flower to frown at his phone. This was going to be the worst. Flower didn't ask. He didn't ask, and he watched and waited, and the more he watched, the more he picked up on. Now, Sid would lean heavily into Gino's side as they waited at the airport, and Gino would curl an arm around his shoulder. They'd sit closer at dinners, when they were watching tape. They'd bump shoulders in the hallway and smile at each other in the locker room with a look in their eye that Flower knew well. They were totally boning. It came to a head in New York, as Flower was sure many things did. They were sharing an elevator up to the floor, just the three of them, and Sid was leaning heavily into Gino's side, almost asleep, and Flower couldn't take it anymore. You know, he said, trying to be as casual as possible about it, you could have just told us you guys were dating. Sid was suddenly wide awake, eyes snapping open as he and Gino both turned to gawk at Flower. We're not, Sid started, and then closed his mouth abruptly. We want to wait a little bit, Gino said, pulling Sid to his side again. Not want to say anything while still working things out. You could have, though, Flower said. Just so you guys know, it's kind of obvious you're in love with each other. I'm pretty sure even the kids are figuring it out. And no one minds, we're all happy for you. Thanks, Flower, Sid said, smiling a little, and Flower only had the time to nod before the elevator doors opened and they all stepped out. He couldn't help but give a parting jab when he saw Gino stepping up behind Sid as Sid went to his own room, though. Use protection! Fuck you! Sid called down the hall, slamming the door behind him as Flower cackled the whole way into his room. Now he really had to call Tanger. Should we tell them? Sid asked, tracing patterns across Gino's chest later that night. Tell what? Gino asked, still sounding a little dazed. Not that Sid could blame him, he just whited out a little himself. That we are, you know. Sid wiggled his fingers in front of Gino's face as if he was showing off a ring. Married? Not really have wedding, just courthouse. Gino said, rolling over and kissing his way down Sid's neck. Sid had no idea how he could be ready to go again so quickly, but he surely wasn't complaining. And only just now find out we date. Maybe wait a little, until we have real wedding, the way we want to. Then tell them. Good plan, Sid said, and Gino grinned wickedly. Have other good plan, too, he said, and suddenly every thought of anyone who wasn't Gino was lost on Sid. You've just finished listening to Ultra Crepidarian by Bycroft. Thanks to Bycroft for giving me permission to podfic the story. If you'd like to leave some feedback for the author, please find him on AO3 as Bycroft. That's by with an I. If you'd like to leave me some feedback, please also find me on AO3 as MomoPods. The song used as theme breaks is Best Day of Your Life by Katie Herzig. Many thanks to Dr. Fumbles McStupid for recommending this song. This podfic was recorded in May 2019 as a gift for Nox Noctis Anima during the Hockey RPF Multi-Fanworks Exchange 2019. Thanks to Anapods for running this exchange. And now for some reader free talk. This is the last one! After picking a Leafs fig with a secret wedding, finding a Stars fig with a fake wedding, I just had to find a Pens fig with a similar theme to make the trio complete. Because, as it happens, Nox also likes Sejino, so I had a bunch of pairings to fall back on. I like the outsider POV of this story, which is rare. And I like that Flower's patronizing the baby Pens. I also like that Tanger is merciless in his endeavor to annoy Flower. I don't know what the timeline is of this story, but I'm assuming Tanger is injured and therefore not in the room with the guys. I'm just going with it. As short as this story is, completing it was kind of difficult because finding a song. I've talked about my hang-ups with songs before where I'm like, the lyrics have to fit and the overall sound of the song has to fit. And finding a song that is an outsider POV of a person who sees their best friends fall in love with each other and is happy for them and not resentful or pining or anything like that. I don't know if a song like that exists. If it does, someone tell me, please. Like, I want to hear this song. I want to listen to this song. I was resigned to going with either something instrumental, but finding something instrumental is just as hard because there's nothing to go off of. Like, with songs with lyrics, at least you have the lyrics, you can check. Like, you can search for things in the lyrics, maybe. But songs that are instrumental are really hard to describe and search for. So unless you already know the song, you're pretty much fucked. And I had resigned myself to using another 80s power ballad, of which Jamie Benn would be proud, I'm sure. And I had found a couple of cover versions of this 80s ballad that would have worked, but they weren't perfect. And then Dr. Fumbles McStupid came to my rescue and dropped this song by Katie Herzig into my lab. And it's honestly, it's perfect. It's as perfect as it can get of all the lyrics. And I mean, I have no idea what the song is actually about because I'm too lazy to think about it. But just some of the lyrics, like chasing you around the block, sounds a lot like, you know, leading someone by the nose. And it just works for me, the lyrics that I picked and put in the spots in the story. And I hope it does for the listeners as well. And the song is upbeat and quirky, and it's, yeah, I just love it. I think it fits the story pretty well. And as of recording this free talk, I'm still working on the cover. As I was scripting my free talk, I had even paused to go look for more pictures in the hopes that I could report something in the free talk about finding some pictures that work. But honestly, yeah, the cover is currently the biggest challenge. I'll see what I can come up with between now and the submission deadline. If you're listening to this, you'll have seen the cover, or you can go look at the cover. So whatever it is, I hope I did a good job. Thanks for listening all the way through to the end, as always. And like I said, I'd love to hear some feedback from you, whether the story worked or didn't work, and if it didn't work, why it didn't work. So yeah, let me know. Until next time, bye!